Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The real linchpin of our gospel text today is verse 6. Verse 6 says, "And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Jesus is telling this to the disciples of John the Baptist. Now, John had boldly confessed Christ. He proclaimed himself to be the promised forerunner of Christ, who is spoken about in Isaiah 40, Malachi chapter 3, and Malachi chapter 4. He is the one who precedes and prepares the way for Christ. And he had also borne witness to the fact that Jesus was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Now, John was arrested for criticizing King Herod, and he was put in a dungeon until he was finally dealt with by being beheaded. At this point, however, John is languishing in this prison, but he is concerned about the well-being of his disciples. You see, he wants his disciples to follow Jesus. John had said, "He must increase, and I must decrease." And so he on numerous occasions would point to Jesus and say, "Behold, the Lamb of God." But you know, people are hesitant. People are hesitant. The bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, somebody once said, right? And, you know, these followers of John the Baptist, they really liked him. They really felt a kinship with him. And then along comes this Jesus. And he's very impressive. There's no doubt about it. He's very impressive. But, you know, he doesn't look much like a Messiah. You know, he looks kind of like another John, an ordinary guy. And we've already got one of those. So the disciples of John the Baptist are kind of reluctant to follow Jesus. And even though John is constantly, you know, "Go to him, go to him, go to him." And they're like, "Yeah, but John, look. Where's the thunder? Where's the lightning? Where's the power and the judgment? And the axe is laid to the root of the trees. And every tree that does not bear good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." John, this guy doesn't look very messianic. And so what John does is he says, "Here I am stuck in prison. There's nothing I can do except encourage these guys. I will send them to Jesus and let him explain to them." Right? So, you know, many commentaries on this passage, they say that John in prison was wavering in his faith, and that he sent the disciples to Jesus to encourage him, that this question arose from him. Nothing could be further from the truth. There is nothing in the Gospels about John the Baptist that would indicate that he would be in any way susceptible of such profound doubt. No, John didn't ask the question of Jesus because he doubted Jesus' messianic qualifications. John sent his disciples so that they could hear from the horse's mouth the defense of Jesus as the Christ and the Messiah. So the disciples come and they say, John sent us with a question. And the question is, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Are you the Messiah, or are you just another forerunner and we're still looking for somebody else to come? Now, why would that question arise? Well, because when you read the prophecies of the Messiah in the Old Testament, you come across the fact that there are two kinds of messianic prophecy. There are the messianic prophecies of the king and the conqueror who will come and establish a kingdom of glory. And then you have passages that when the Messiah comes, he will be lowly and humble, and he will suffer and he will die for the sins of the world. These two pictures of the Messiah appear to contradict one another, and it created a problem for people. And so what most people did, as you can see from the literature of the first century AD, what most people did was they kind of sidelined all that stuff in the Old Testament about the suffering Messiah. They kind of put that aside, backburnered it, if you will. And they paid most attention to all the passages that talk about Messiah kicking butt and taking names when he shows up. You see? And that's what they were hoping for. Somebody to come and to beat these Romans into the earth. Somebody to subdue our enemies and give us our rightful place in this world. Right? That's what they were looking for. And all that stuff about the suffering of the Messiah, they kind of backburnered it and didn't pay much attention to it. Some people couldn't quite backburner it, and so they came, well, you know, maybe there's two Messiahs. Maybe there's a suffering Messiah, and then there's also going to be a powerful, glorious Messiah. Maybe that's it. All of these kinds of things were floating around at the day. So the disciples of John, you know, they're struggling because John is telling them, follow Jesus. And they're like, you know, he doesn't look so Messiah-like, you know. He walks around and gets his feet dirty, you know, and he preaches and everything, and he's a great preacher, but he doesn't look like he's going to give it to the Romans anytime soon, right? So they ask the question, are you the one that's going to come, or do we look for another? And Jesus, probably with a big smile on his face, right, says, go and show John the things that you have heard and seen. All right? Go and show John. And then what Jesus does here is genius, you know. He goes, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. What's Jesus doing here? He's conflating two passages of Scripture from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 and 6, which say, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the deaf, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. Right? Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 and 6. And then he tags onto it, the poor have the gospel preached to them. That's Isaiah 61, verse 1. Isaiah 61, verse 1. And I know you're getting impatient here. What's he doing? He's taken a passage from this place in the book of Isaiah, and he's taken a passage from this place in the book of Isaiah, and he's saying, study the prophet Isaiah and remember what you hear. He's taking two passages that are far apart, and he's saying, this and everything in between. All right? Jesus points to the fulfillment of the prophecies of Isaiah. Now listen, out of all the prophets, the written prophets in the Old Testament, Isaiah is the prince of them all. All right? You know, Jeremiah's great, Ezekiel's great, all those other guys, great, great guys. Right? But Isaiah is the prince of the written prophets. You got Elijah and Elisha too, but they didn't write. Right? But Isaiah is the prince of the written prophets. And Jesus says, look at what I'm doing. I am healing blind people. I am enabling the lame to walk. I am cleansing lepers. I am healing the deaf. And I am raising the dead. These were what Jesus was doing, the miracles that Jesus was doing. And he says, and it's all prophesied in Isaiah the prophet. So if you compare my mission, such as you already know it, with the prophecies of Isaiah, how can you draw any other conclusion than that I am He, and that there is no other that you are to look to? And then when he says, and the poor have the gospel, or the good news, preached to them, Jesus is the embodiment of the good news, and he preached good news, God's salvation and redemption through his person and work. So he's saying, listen, you guys don't know the whole story yet, but you know enough with what you know that I have already done, and what the prophet Isaiah says that the Messiah will do. You have enough to work with for the time being. And you are blessed if you stick with me and do not allow what you do not yet know to eclipse what you do know. It's like he's saying to them, so far, so good. Hang on to this, and everything will be made clear in its proper time. You see, it wasn't yet the time for Jesus to emphasize his suffering and his crucifixion. That would become clear in its time. And the resolution of the two prophecies in the Old Testament, the suffering and the glorious Messiah, that would all become clear in its proper time. Meanwhile, blessed is the one who adheres to the word of God and the confession of Christ and is not offended in me. All right, now listen. What does the word offended mean? All right? The Greek word is a very interesting Greek word. It is scandalized. Scandalized. Right? Scandalizo in Greek. And what was a scandalizo in Greek? A scandalizo was the trigger on a trap. You know, like you have a bear trap, and there's that little place that if you step on it, the trap shuts closed on you. Well, that little trigger that you step on, that's the scandal. It's a trap. It's a trigger. All right? Nowadays, you know, the social justice warriors and the little precious snowflakes in our colleges and universities, all these people who they can't hear anything without having a panic attack. All right? And the news media talks about this, and they talk about people being triggered. Oh, I was triggered. I was triggered. He said that, and it triggered me. And now I need a safe place to pet my little puppy and to go and play with some Play-Doh until I feel better about myself. What a bunch of wusses. Right? What a bunch of wusses. I fear for the future of our country. With people like that coming of age, my goodness, my goodness, what they won't lie down and tolerate for. I've got to go have a safe place. Somebody said something that I don't agree with, and I'm about to pass out from it. Jeez. Anyway, let's not get bogged down in that. Jesus says this, look, blessed is the one who does not stumble over me, who does not get trapped or triggered by me. In other words, hang in there, believe what you already know, and keep praying, and what you don't know will soon be revealed. Hang in there, and it'll all come together for you. And this is true for all of us as well. Even though we know the end of the story, it's true for us as well. There are parts of the Bible that you know when you read them, you understand them perfectly well. And there's other parts of the Bible when you read them, you go, what? Right? What? That's crazy. Right? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about what you don't know. Enjoy what you do know, and all will become clear as you continue in the faith. You see, that's what Jesus is saying. That's why we have Bible class, that's why we have sermons, that's why we teach the Word of God, because we are always growing. Then every once in a while, you know, somebody gets upset because they say, wait a minute, there's something I always thought this, but I found out that I've been wrong my whole life. Well, isn't that a surprise? Right? That you should be wrong for your whole life. Yeah. You know, I still discover about myself that I've been wrong my whole life about things. You know? What else is new? Right? I'm not Jesus. Right? Jesus is the Savior. And I'm still discovering things and going, wow, I always thought it was this, but it's really this. You know? Everything will become clear. Hang in there and roll with what you already know. And as you continue to explore, and as God continues to reveal His Word to you, all the pieces will be filled in. All the pieces of the puzzle will be filled in until that day when you finally stand before the Lord and the last pieces of the puzzle are put in and you can stand back and go, oh, that's really great. That's one of the joys of heaven, by the way, is that you're going to see the whole puzzle put together. None of the pieces will be missing. And you go, so that's what it all was. And it'll be an immense joy to be in heaven and to realize how everything really worked together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose, and that everything in this life truly contributed in some way to your benefit because you are a redeemed child of God. And so hang in there. Don't become discouraged. Don't get blocked out and wrecked up by what you don't know, but continue in what you know and continue to study and to be open to the Word. God will continue to fill in the blanks until when you stand before Him on that day and the last pieces of the puzzle are put in and you get to rejoice forever. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.